Well, brothers and sisters, I hope to encourage us when we come to pray in a few moments by speaking to you this evening about the battle and the struggle that often takes place before we pray. The struggles we sometimes have before we pray. There's that conflict that you find you often have in your heart when the moment when you sit down to try to pray and gather your thoughts. And I hope it's not just me, but don't you find that one of the hardest things about prayer is just beginning and getting started and breaking through all the distractions and the doubts before you begin to pray? You know, there is that saying, pray until you begin to pray. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. So that's just what I wanted to speak to us about, that this kind of a battle we might go through before we pray. And a large part of that battle is that, of course, the devil, the enemy, is at work. And he's trying to discourage us, and he's trying to deceive us, either so we don't pray or that we'll quickly become frustrated and stop praying. And he attacks us by sowing doubts into our hearts, trying to plant lies about the Lord and about prayer in our hearts. And so what we need to do before we pray is remind ourselves of important gospel truths. What the Word of God says is true. And the battle in our hearts is we've got to fight back against those lies and discouragements and really hold on to the truth. Use our faith about what we know is true. This is a long introduction, but I don't normally recommend films, but I wonder if anybody's seen it. There was a recent movie came out called The Shift by Angel Studios. Great, obviously a very popular, successful film. Well, it's a science fiction movie, but it's inspired by the book of Job. And there's a scene in it which really captures what I mean. The story is that there's a man who's rescued from a car crash by this very charismatic stranger, rich and powerful man. And the man's life is a terrible mess. He's lost everything. He's an absolute low point. And this other character, who's called the benefactor, who's all smiles and charm, he takes him out to a posh restaurant, and he offers to the man everything he's ever wanted, everything he's ever dreamed, if he'll just serve him. And that will mean doing some evil and nefarious things. If he's willing to do that, he'll get the dream life. And as it goes on and things are spiraling out of control, this man begins to realize that the benefactor is, of course, the devil. And in his desperation, he's terrified, he's shaken, he starts to pray. And he bows his head and he says, "Heavenly Father, I'm not worthy to pray, but I need your help." And what's so great about the scene is then the benefactor starts mocking him. And he says, "Oh, this is a first. You can't be serious. You're praying? You're damaged goods. He is never going to listen to you." But the man keeps trying to pray, even though the benefactor is getting more aggressive and keeps interrupting him. Until eventually, when he won't stop praying, the benefactor starts getting really angry and threatening and says, "I am more powerful than him. Prayer's useless. I'm better than him. I'm in control. Don't waste your time praying." And the man keeps trying to pray. And then suddenly, the benefactor, the devil, just disappears as God begins to answer the prayer. So look it up. You can actually find that on YouTube just as a clip. But although it's a movie, I feel it really captures something of what it's like when you're trying to pray and the attacks and the doubts and the struggles that come. So with that in mind, I want us to look at verses 9 to 13 in particular in our passage and the truth the Lord teaches us about prayer. And consider it versus the lies that the devil would tell you. So the first lie that's often whispered in our ears is that prayer is a waste of time. Again, I hope I'm not the only one that sometimes has felt that as a temptation. That it's not going to change anything. that it accomplishes nothing. And for some of us, that's going to be an easy lie to believe and be discouraged, because we might have been praying for something for a long time and we haven't seen an answer. Or maybe you've been praying and actually things seem to have got worse. Or maybe it's we get a bit confused sometimes and we wonder things like, if God knows everything, why do I need to pray? And even if God has ordained all things, does my prayer matter? Does it have any role to play? Well, yes, it does, because God works through means. He works through us to accomplish his great eternal plans. But we might be struggling to understand these things and how. And then probably most common, we think there's something really wrong with us, so bad about us, that God's not going to answer our prayers. A bit like the devil in the movie. You're damaged goods. He's not going to listen to you. So just look at how the Lord encourages us with the truth here. I say to you, this is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now that is a wonderful promise from the Savior to us. He says, everyone who asks will be answered. That includes you, Christian. Seek, knock, ask, and it will be given. Not it might be given if God is in a good mood or something like that. It will be given. That God does not turn away his children. He does not turn away those who come to him and seek him. So this is the Lord's giving us a wide open invitation to prayer. And more than that, to persist in prayer. The real sense of it, isn't it, is he's saying, keep asking, keep striving, keep knocking, keep seeking. The Lord may not answer straight away, or according to our understanding, or according to our timetable. But we have the promise. He answers. Do we believe that? Do you believe it, Christian? I'm sure we've all been in a situation where you go around to somebody's house and you know that they're there and you knock on the door and then for some reason they don't come. You know they're there. You've arranged to meet with them. They promised they'll be there at that time. But maybe they're just in the back room, or you didn't knock loud enough or something like that. You keep knocking because you know they're there. And that's what the Lord's saying to us here. You know you have the promise that your Father will hear. So keep knocking. He will open. You can think too of the parable of the persistent widow. She overcomes the wicked judge because she just won't quit. I like to call that the parable of nagging. Because she nags and she nags the wicked judge until he gives in. And of course, God is not a wicked judge. But he hears his children. And so that scripture says we should pray and never lose heart. So when the devil comes at you, if you feel discouraged and you're trying to pray and you're thinking, is it going to make any difference? Remember the words of the Lord here. Sometimes I play a little game with my kids. I'm sure a lot of us as parents will do, where I'll put a sweet or something like that in my hand and clench it tight. Because I like that fun game of the kids climbing over me and trying to prise my fingers open. And then it's because I want to spend time with them and I want to be close to them. And then eventually I'll give it to them to reward their efforts. And that's a very small picture, but in a way that's what God is doing with us. What he wants is our fellowship. What he wants is he loves us. He wants us to spend that time with him. And because we're all so terrible at prayer and don't do it, sometimes he withholds what he would give us. Not because he doesn't love us, but because he does love us. And he's teaching us to seek him, to give our time to him, to draw near to him. And when the timing's right, he'll answer. So it comes because of who he is. So don't be discouraged by that first lie. Well, then the second lie that the devil often will hit you with is that God is not for us. I mean, that's been his main line of attack from the beginning. He's always trying to attack God's honor, his character. And so he'll want you to think that God doesn't have your best interest at heart, that he's keeping something from you, or that he's being unfair. And of course, the classic example of that is if we go back to the very beginning when he tempts and he lies in the garden and he says, God is not letting you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Oh, he's cheating you. Oh, you, if you eat from that tree, you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. And oh, how mean of God not to give what you want. What's he doing? He's attacking God's character, God's truthfulness, God's goodness. There's something wrong with how God would deal with you. And that same lie in different forms, in one, you know, he doesn't really change tactics. That's what he'll try and convince us of. Or to use the Lord's words, he'll want you to think that God is a bad father. That if you're asking for bread, he'll give you a scorpion. That if you're asking for fish, he'll give you a stone. That as a father, God is harsh, just waiting to knock you down. He doesn't want to bless you. You're going to have to twist his arm to bless you. God is just angry with you. And maybe some human fathers are like that, but the Lord himself says here that most human fathers are better than that. Even though we are evil, we're fallen, we're sinful. He says, even still, most human fathers are better than that. So God, the perfect father, is so much better. Maybe the single most important truth to remind yourself of before you pray is that God is a good father. He's generous. He's caring. And he knows all your needs. He's holy. He's faithful. He's truthful. He's good. And he's adopted you through Jesus Christ. He's your loving father in heaven. And so often that's what the devil would try and convince us isn't so. Well, it's important we have time to pray. So let me just quickly say this last point. And what are we promised? Well, the Lord says the Holy Spirit is promised to those who ask. Which I think is another way of saying everything. That he gives us everything. By Holy Spirit here, the Lord is not just speaking about the incredible gift of the person of the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell in us, who I think we've wonderfully seen at work amongst us this week. Glory to him. But he's not just speaking here about that amazing gift and his empowering. I think he's also really saying all the blessings of salvation. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who takes of all the riches of grace that are in Christ in heaven, all our salvation, and he's the one who makes it real to us, who links us to Christ in heaven, and all the grace and mercy in him is brought into us and our lives with power through the Holy Spirit. And so I think Christ is saying not just the Spirit, but everything of all of salvation and the kingdom of heaven comes to us in answers to prayer. And that's how generous a father he is. So, not just tonight, brothers and sisters, but before you pray anytime, please don't listen to the lies of the devil. Be prepared. You might have to fight. You might have to remind yourself of these truths and use your faith, but remember the truth the Lord gives you here. Seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given. And your Father is a good Father, a generous Father. So ask him for all things. For the kingdom.